We're in week five of our Made for Mission series. If you've not been able to be here, I want to do a quick review, and I've got some of that in the bulletin for you if you want to follow along just to kind of catch you up. And we started out by saying that we are called, and this calling is not just for the spiritually elite. It's for everyone who calls Jesus the Lord of their lives. And so everyone is called by Jesus. And so the question is, are you going to answer that calling or not? Week two, we answered the question, what's my mission? And we said our mission simply is Jesus' mission. So we'd better find out what Jesus is about. Week three, we asked, what's my message? If I'm called and I'm to share this with other people, then what am I supposed to say? What do I say when I'm on mission? And we learned that our mission is very simply share how God's goodness has intersected with my life. Just tell people, what has God done for you? What has Jesus done for you? What's the difference He's made in your life? And then finally, last week we talked about who's my mission, and we said we share with those around us that God has strategically placed people around us where we work, where we live, where we play, where we go to school, and we shared the acronym FRANCE. Right? And FRANCE stands for friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, co-workers or classmates, and keep your eyes open, FRANCE. Those are the people that you need to be concerned about sharing the gospel with. I think sometimes we get a little overwhelmed because we start thinking about our area. We start thinking about the east side of Columbus, or we're thinking about Columbus as a whole, and it can be a little bit overwhelming of sharing the gospel with everyone, because a lot of times we think, well, the church is supposed to do that, and the church is just where we hold services. But when we begin to realize that the church is not the building and it's made up of the people who attend, then all of a sudden we start to realize that everyone who is a part of this church has lives outside of the church. You have a place that you work, a place that you live, maybe a place that you play, people that you hang out with. And we have these opportunities to make an impact all over the place. Again, we can't just open the doors of the church and hope that people come to us. The way that we're going to grow this church is to go out into the community and share with our friends and our relatives and our acquaintances and our neighbors and our coworkers and classmates. And we need to keep our eyes open, and we need to be sharing the gospel outside of the four walls of this church and bring them in, not just hope that they come. And so today we're asking the question, why? Why do I do that? Why am I on a mission? You know, maybe you come to church and you leave church and you're all kind of pumped up, and you think, man, I really, really like the music today, the fellowship, Ron's message, you know, it kind of got me pumped up today. And you thought, man, you walk away thinking, God's really put me here for a purpose. I'm ready to go out and share. But then a few days later, in the craziness of life, you find yourself asking questions like, why can't I just be a normal soccer mom? You know? Why do I have to be a mom on mission? Do I really have to see my school as a mission field? Can't I just go to school like everyone else and just kind of keep to myself? Or, I mean, you know what? My job's hard enough. Do I really? I mean, the factory that I work in is hot, and people in there are, man, their language is so bad, and the job is hard enough already. Do I really have to go beyond what I'm already doing and share the message with my unsaved coworkers? Well, before we dive in today, let me speak to those of you who might be here and you're kind of new to this whole church thing, just exploring the claims of Jesus and whether you even believe in God or not. I think it's important for you to understand, I think it's important for all of us to understand, not just those who don't know Jesus, that Jesus is inviting us to a chicken pot pie relationship and not a TV dinner relationship. And let me explain that to you. How many remember the old TV dinners? How many of you still eat TV dinners? Okay, so some of you do that. And, you know, the food comes in their own little compartments. And you know, you got your chicken there in a compartment. And then you got your mashed potatoes. And that looks like some type of fruity apple peach. Or, that's apple. Looks apple, yeah. And then you've got peas and peas and carrots and corn, all together, all mixed up there. And the thing that's great about a TV dinner is that the chicken's got its own little compartment, and the mashed potatoes and the fruit, and then you can keep all that separate away from the peas and the corn and the carrots, because God never intended for those three vegetables to be put together, and you don't want them to mix with the rest of your food. That's of the devil. God never intended for that to happen. But it's nice and easy because you can keep all of these things separated and they can be in their own little compartments. And that's the way we do our lives. We break our lives down into that, and we say, all right, here's one compartment that I've got for my work, and here's one compartment I have for my family, and here's one compartment I have for play or vacation or whatever it might be, and here's one compartment that I have for faith. And God is saying, no, I don't want it that way. It's supposed to be all together. I want a chicken pot pie kind of thing, right? Because what we do with this is we say, these things just don't mesh together naturally, and so we put them in different compartments of our life, and God says, no, this is what I want, you know? Everything is mixed together. There's no picking and choosing. The chicken, the crust, even the peas, carrots, and corn in every bite, whether you like it or not, that's the way I want it to be. Everything in your lives is, it's not compartmentalized. It's all mixed in there together. That's how God wants our walk to be with our faith. He wants our relationship with Him to touch every part of our lives and for us to get rid of the compartments. Now, for a great sermon illustration, I actually thought about handing each of you a frozen pot pie to take home with you today so that when you ate that, you would remember this sermon illustration. But I went to Sam's Club and I looked at how much they cost, and I thought the church would get upset with me for a $400 sermon illustration. I thought that might not be good, but anyway, if you ever have pot pie again, just think of this, all right? Look at John 13, 1 through 5 with me, and follow along on the screen if you don't have your Bibles or a phone or iPad or something that you can read from. It was just before the Passover festival. And Jesus knew that the hour had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. Now, when we see Jesus doing things in Scripture, it was almost met with this, I didn't see that coming. It was almost like this amazing kind of response where Jesus does something and you're like, wow. You know, I really didn't see that coming. I'm sure the disciples kind of felt that way most of the time as well. And I hope that's your response today as you read the stories of Jesus. You're like, wow, you know, I put myself in that position and or in that situation in that time frame, and I would have never seen that coming. But I think what happens sometimes is we've been at the Christian thing for so long that we start to lose our wonder. We start to lose the amazement. We start to lose the enthusiasm for the things that Jesus did. And I wonder if maybe the disciples found themselves in this particular place. You know, they'd been with Jesus for 3.5 years, and they're walking around, and they're probably, another blind guy that can see. Another lame guy that can walk. You know, they'd seen it done so many times that I wonder if maybe they were guilty at times of losing their awe and wonder. But this was something new. This was something completely different. This was something that took them completely off guard. Jesus gets up and He wraps the towel around His waist and He begins to wash feet. No way. You know? No. You're not going to do that. And here's what happens to me. And maybe you're this way. But for me, it's very easy for me to turn my mission on and off. It's very easy for me to be, you know, all right, I'm on mission, now I'm off mission. I'm on mission, now I'm off mission. And Jesus is saying, no, I don't want that to be that way. And that's the first point of our message today. Jesus is always on mission, and we should be too. And we say, oh yeah, but he was God. But I think it was more than that. He knew why he was on mission. And it was stronger than any of the reasons or the excuses that he could have given. You think about the excuses that Jesus could have given for not doing what he did in washing the disciples' feet. I'm having a nice meal with my friends, kind of a, you know, get together, almost like a party, really. And I mean, I want to have a good time. I don't want to serve people for the next couple of hours. And we kind of get that way, don't we? I get it if I'm on a mission trip or I'm at church. But you know what? I've got some other things going on in my life that I want to do. I want to have some fun. And so we don't serve sometimes. Or Jesus might have been able to, well, he could have, no maybe about it. He could have given the excuse, well, you know what? These people sitting here at this meal, they don't deserve it. I mean, after all, here in just a little while, Peter is going to deny that he ever knew me. Before that happens, Judas, he's going to sell me out and I'm going to be killed. These people don't deserve it. Do we ever get that way? We look at people, maybe people we don't like, people we don't care for. You know what? They don't really deserve it. I don't really. And now that I stop and think about it, I really don't even like them all that much. And so we're not going to serve them. Another excuse Jesus could have given was he was incredibly overqualified. Washing someone's feet, that wasn't even a role of a servant. That's beneath a servant. He could have easily built a strong case. You know, hey, I'm the Son of God, and that's beneath me. I'm just not going to do that. I hope we don't ever take that type of attitude that anyone is just beneath us serving them, or that's beneath us to serve them. Seemingly, he was making no impact by washing their feet. You know, there was another time Jesus spits into dirt and he makes mud and he gives sight to a blind guy. But this was different. Again, Jesus washes their feet. About an hour later, their feet were going to be filthy again. You know, they're walking through the dusty streets of Jerusalem and open-toed sandals and probably hot and sweaty feet. That's disgusting, you know? Jesus could have said, what's the point? You know, your feet are just going to be dirty in no time at all. No human should ever have to clean the nasty gunk between the toes of another human. You're laughing because you want to say amen, right? You don't want to do that. But Jesus did. And this one isn't as strong as some of the other excuses, but I bet it's something he didn't really want to do. We do that sometimes. Well, I don't really want to do that. No. So we make excuses. And then other times we don't serve because we think we've got that bigger things going on. You know. Do you think Jesus had bigger things to do than wash feet? He knew he was about to be arrested. He knew that he was going to be crucified on a cross. We read that maybe just an hour after this all happens, he's sweating blood because of the stress that's in his life. If there was ever a time for someone to think about themselves instead of other people, do you think Jesus had the right to think about himself knowing what was about to happen? Absolutely, he had the right to do that. But instead, in maybe the most selfless act we see in Scripture, with every excuse in the book to not to, here he is again amazing his friends, the ones that are closest to him. He starts washing their dirty feet. How does he do this? How does he perform this selfless act in the midst of a time when I'd be biting my fingernails and fretting and sweating and crying and trying to hide if I knew I was going to die? How do I stay focused? How do I stay passionate about the mission, even when I don't feel like it? How do I stay passionate about Jesus and his mission for my life when there's stress in my life or when there's something serious that is between you and another person? You've got some serious anger going on between you and someone else. How do you stay focused? Well, let's look at our second point. The foundation of Jesus' mission flowed from his identity. You know, lots of things shape how we see ourselves and how we think other people see us. What if we stopped worrying about how everybody else saw us and we start concerning ourselves with how Jesus sees us? That your true identity was truly found in God. This is what Jesus did. He knew that he was the Son of God. He knew who he was. His mission was clear. He knew whose he was. Not only is he the Son of God, but he was his Father's. He's my dad. I've got nothing to fear. He knew what his mission was. He knew why God had sent him here. The time had come to pay for the sins of mankind, and he willingly came. So he knew all of these things, and it changed everything. He knew where he was going. He knew that after he gave his life for all of mankind, that he was going to come back to life, and he was going to be at the Father's right hand in eternity forever. He knew where the power came from. He knew that his Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and that he was going to return to God. Listen, all of these things are true for us as well. When our identity is wrapped up in God, he is infinitely bigger than the circumstances that are around us. Jesus' identity was secure. You know? And ours needs to be secure. We need to understand that we are God's and he's put us here for a mission. And one of these days, yes, we're gonna be like Jesus. We're going to die. We're not going to come back to life here on this earth, but we're going to go to be with him forever. Now, there will be a great reunion, a resurrection of our bodies. We'll be reunited with our souls and then we'll live in heaven forever with him. But all of these things are going to happen with us as well. But what inspired him to wash those feet? You ever ask that question? You know what? Okay, yeah, I know I'm God's son. I know my identity is in Christ. And we can sit here and say, you know, that's where our hope lies. That's where our identity is. But I got to tell you, knowing that I am one of God's kids, that has never inspired me to wash dirty feet. Have you ever just looked at someone and said, oh, those feet need washed. I think I'll do that because I'm God's son. Most of us don't have that type of mentality. Look at John 13, 6 through 11. He came to Simon Peter who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No. And I think this is incredible that Simon Peter has the audacity to tell the Son of God no. But he does. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. What a crazy response from Jesus. If I don't do this, then you have no part with me. One of the simplest descriptions of what our relationship with Jesus is supposed to be like is this, and it's very easy. It's pour out, pour in, pour out. Can you just say that with me real quick? Pour out, pour in, pour out. Here's what we do. We begin by pouring ourselves out to God. We share with him everything. We share with him the good, the bad, the ugly, everything that there is. And just like a good parent, God wants to hear that from us. God wants us to talk to him about those good things, those bad things, those things that keep us up at night worrying, those sins. He wants to hear the passions, the dreams, the stresses, all of those things. He wants to hear those things. And so we pour those things into him, we pour out our hearts to him, and then God pours back in to us. And this most happens through his word. As we're reading his word, he pours back into us. Sometimes this can happen through other godly people. Sometimes it can happen through circumstances. Sometimes it's just the Holy Spirit as we're praying. But he fills us up with encouragement and conviction and guidance and wisdom. And then from him pouring back into us, then we go pour ourselves out to other people. Does that make sense? And so here's what we do. We take all of our, and I was going to have some water up here to illustrate this, but you just need to use your imaginations with me, all right? Let's imagine a dirty glass of water, just this filthy, dirty glass of water, and we take it and we pour it into this big old pitcher of clean water that is represented by God. And when we pour that dirt and that junk into God, he cleans it, pours it back into us, and then he says, I want you to go pour now into other people the water that I've poured into you, the good, the clean that I've poured in to you. And we see this happening all throughout Scripture, the life of Jesus, John chapter 11, Jesus and the disciples, they get away to pray, right? They're pouring out to God. John 12, Jesus is anointed by an expensive perfume, and this is in preparation for his burial, and so God is pouring back into Jesus. And then in John 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. He's pouring back out to others. Right after this scene, we see Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he pours out his heart to God. All right? And the passage says that God sends an angel to strengthen him, and so God pours back in to him. And then finally, from there, the ultimate act of pouring out, Jesus goes to the cross and pours out his blood for all of mankind. The ultimate pour out. And so I think what Scripture teaches us is to the depth that I pour out to God will be the depth that God pours into us. And then that's the depth we're able to pour into others. Imagine, just imagine if that dirty water illustration again, if God just pours the clean water into our dirty lives, is that just going to clean it up? If you're pouring clean water into dirty water, the water's still dirty to a degree, right? And so what God wants us to do is to pour out that old junk in him so he can pour new into us. If we never took the time to pour out our junk to God in prayer and allowed him to pour into us with his word and through others and through the Holy Spirit, when people come to you in need, there's still going to be some dirty water in your life. You're not going to be able to share what God wants you to share to a certain degree because there's still some dirt. They don't need your nasty, dirty water. They need Jesus' perfect, healing, cleansing water. And for Peter, God's doing this very thing. By washing his feet, he's giving a powerful object lesson of replacing nasty feet, again, pouring out with clean ones, pour in. And Peter's first response is, no way, no, not going to happen, not going to do this. But Jesus comes back and says, if I can't do this for you, Peter, then you've missed the whole point of us being together the last 3.5 years. You've missed it. From the very beginning, the primary call on Peter's life had not necessarily been ministry, but was intimacy. It was a relationship with Jesus. That's what he was looking for. Jesus told Peter one day, follow me. Jesus didn't say, hey, Peter, do what I do. He didn't say that. He didn't say, hey, get in line with the rest of them. Jesus invited him first and foremost into a relationship, and he said, you come into a relationship with me and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And notice Peter's job, that wasn't just his job to become a fisher of men, but simply to follow Jesus. And in following Jesus, he became someone who fished for human souls to know Jesus. And we get all of this stuff going on in our lives, and it makes us forget that what our real identity is. But God wants to cleanse us, and he wants to remind us who we really are. That we're his children. We're his kids. And we're made for a mission. And that mission equals life in relationship with God. If you're going out and you're doing all of these different things, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus, what's the point? Without faith, the Bible tells us, it's impossible to please God. So if you're just going out and doing a bunch of good things, there might be some people that benefit from that, but you're not doing anything necessarily for the kingdom. These two things cannot be separated. Our mission and our relationship with God, they cannot be separated. And the exciting thing is this, out of our identity in Christ, understanding that we are his children and that we are cleansed by God and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then he calls us to join him in this mission. Listen to the last thing he tells Peter and the other disciples to do. This is verse 13 through 17. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. He tells them to go and do the same for others, as I have poured in. Now, Jesus is not literally saying you need to go wash everybody's feet. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he didn't really say it that way, right? That's not what he's saying here. He is saying, in the same way that I have poured into you, you are to pour into other people. In the same way that I have served you, in other words, you need to have humility. You need to lower yourself. You need to do the dirty job sometimes that nobody else is willing to do. You need to have this servant mindset. As I have poured into you, you pour into others. That's how we're going to win people to Jesus, is when people see how much we care, when they see that we're willing to lower ourselves and serve them in a way that nobody else will. You know, here's the deal. Everyone in our world, well, most everyone, is all about getting a better job, a better house, a better car, better paycheck, but that's not what Jesus is about. It's so foreign to our culture. Jesus was so counterculture. You think about this. He exchanged a throne in heaven for a cross on earth. You say, well, that's just cruel punishment. Listen to what Jesus says next, verse 16 and 17. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Notice he doesn't say, hey, you serve others and you sacrifice for others, and if you do that, you're going to earn some spiritual brownie points. He never said that. No. He says, if you do these things, you'll be blessed, meaning you are the fortunate one. You're going to benefit from doing these things. And I think there's two reasons why we'll be blessed. One, the more you serve and sacrifice from an overflowing cup, the more you're like Christ. The more you serve, the more you're like him. And two, the more you serve and sacrifice, the more you are with Christ. The more you're like him, and the more you're with him. And it's only there that you truly learn that Jesus is enough. You don't need anything else. He really is enough. And so we stop seeking the approval of men. We don't worry about our Facebook likes or our Instagram likes. We don't worry about our money or our accomplishments or our abs or biceps or our boyfriend or girlfriend or even our husband or our wife or our kids or our parents. You're approved by God. You're His kid. And from this identity, He calls us to serve others humbly, happily, put others' needs before our own. And Jesus set the standard pretty high. I'm not going to lie. He was God, and He washed grimy feet, and He told us to follow His example. And so this next week, I encourage you to pour out all of your stuff to Jesus. Just lay it out there. Just pour it out to Him. And then allow Him to pour into you. Get into His Word. Spend time in prayer. Hang out with other good Christian friends that you can learn from. And allow Him to pour back into you, and then you pour back out to others. You know, when Jesus did this whole pour out, pour in, pour out thing with Jesus, or with Peter, Jesus did that with Peter. You know what happened? He stood up on the day of Pentecost after Jesus had poured into him. He stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached, he poured out to the people that were gathered there. And 3,000 people got saved. As you spend time with God each day, and I have no idea who's trying to interfere with our service here, but I know y'all can probably hear that. Get that out of there. All right. As you spend time with God each day and you pour out to Him and He pours into you, He will then send you out with what the Bible calls beautiful feet. Do you have beautiful feet? Okay, good. I hope so. I look at my feet and those aren't so lovely, you know. That's why I wear shoes all the time. People don't need to see those things. But wouldn't it be nice for people to say about you, you have beautiful feet? Why do you have beautiful feet? Because you're carrying the good news of Jesus Christ to other people and you're serving other people. And I'm going to warn you, you might not get it right. Peter, with his clean feet, falls asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane an hour later. Right? He's supposed to be praying an hour after Jesus pours into him. He falls asleep. A few hours after that, he denies even knowing, and he runs knowing Jesus, and he runs off in guilt. And so, what does Jesus do? A few days later, after he's resurrected from the grave, he meets him on the beach where it all began. And what do? Peter pours out. Jesus pours in. Peter pours out to the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and the rest is history. And that's why you're here today. You ever stop and think about that? If it wasn't for the day of Pentecost, if it wasn't for Peter doing that, who was going to share the message? And as we've said before, not a generation has got skipped because others were pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. And that's why we're here today in this place. Don't give up on a God who's never given up on you. And Satan's going to whisper in your ear and he's going to say, oh, you can't do it. You don't have the ability. You don't have the time. You don't have the talent. Don't stretch yourself. People are going to think you're weird. That's never really bothered me all that much, the whole weird thing. I get that a lot. And God pours in to us and He whispers to us and He says, I still believe in you. I'm not done with you. The best is still to come. You have no idea. Just trust me. I think that's what He's saying to us. One more day. Get back up. I'll be strong in your weakness. I've got this. You're not alone. Did you know the book of Mark comes from the testimony of Peter? Do you know that? And here's what's pretty cool. A few decades later, when it's written, Peter's identity is so sure that he includes all of his mistakes. If I was writing a story about my life, probably not going to include all of my mistakes. But Peter did. And can you just kind of picture Peter as he's telling these stories? Oh, yeah. Get this. This is when I messed up and I cut the dude's ear off. You know, that time, and then, oh yeah, there's that time when I was supposed to stay awake with Jesus and pray, but I fell asleep, you know, and here's this time when I actually jumped out of the boat and I'm walking on water, but then I took my eyes off Jesus and I started sinking. Yeah. He includes all of his mistakes, but he was so sure in who he was in Jesus, it didn't matter. And here's the thing. We think that because of some of the bad things that we've done, that disqualifies us from serving others and sharing the gospel with other people. And I'll close with this. Who knows? Your worst moments might serve to help others when they feel like they're falling. Your worst moments might serve to help others when they feel like they're falling. In other words, that bad thing in your life that's happened to you or that you've done, you're not the only one. There's someone else out there that's gone through the same thing or who is going through the same thing that you can minister to and say, hey, this is how God restored me. This is how God helped me, and he'll do the same for you. It all starts when we pour ourselves out to God. Maybe you've not done that by surrendering your life to him, repenting of your sins, and being baptized. I don't recommend you wait till you're 95, although that's a pretty cool story. Ananias said to Paul, why do you wait? Why do you wait? If you know it's the right thing to do, you know you should do it, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Maybe that's a decision you need to make today. Maybe for most of you, you've already done that, but have you surrendered to him? Have you made him the Lord of your life? I want to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And if you have a need, we encourage you to come.